All right, Merry Christmas and welcome back to Pursuit of Profit. As we close out 2025, I want to start today's episode with a quick moment of gratitude because this year has been nothing short of incredible, and it's all because of listeners and viewers like you. This year alone, according to the 2025 Spotify Wrapped Report, the show saw a 1,000% increase in new listeners, 999% to be exact, a 170% increase in new followers, and a 62% increase in listening time. On the video side, Pursuit of Profit ranked in the top 25% of all video podcasts on Spotify. I'm blown away by this, truly grateful. And Spotify also recognized the show with three awards: the 2025 Marathon Show, 2025 Most Talked About Show, and the 2025 Most Shared Show. Those numbers don't happen without an engaged, loyal audience, and I'm incredibly grateful for every listen, every share, every message, and conversation sparked by this show. So for Christmas, we're bringing you a holiday encore, one of our most downloaded episodes and talked about episodes of the year, our conversation with Brian Weinstein, the founder of Barbaclean, that originally aired on May 14th. Brian's story is a powerful reminder that great businesses are built through resilience, smart decisions, and the courage to just keep going, a message that feels especially meaningful during the holiday season. So from my family to yours, we wish you a very Merry Christmas, a peaceful holiday, and a strong start to the new year. Now let's revisit one of the standout conversations of 25. Here's Brian Weinstein of Barbaclean.
Last year, we had our first franchisee go over $1 million, just under $1.2 million in barbecue, cleaning, service, repair, and replacement. $1.2 million. We had another franchisee last year, trained in February, opened in March, did just under $600,000 in his first year of cleaning, repairing, replacing barbecues.
All right. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today's guest is disrupting one of the most overlooked opportunities in home services, and he's doing it with steam. Brian Weinstein is the founder and CEO of Barbaclean, one of the nation's leading barbecue grill cleaning franchises. With over 80 operating locations across the United States, Brian has built a business around a simple fact. 80% of U.S. households own a barbecue grill. That's over 130 million homes, and nearly all of them are filthy. In an industry with almost no serious competition, Brian's franchisees are pulling in some serious numbers. Some of them are doing over $1 million a year in revenue of over $400,000. What's even more impressive is their 35% net margins, and all of this can be found in a very impressive Item 19 earnings claim. We'll talk about his labor-light model, multiple revenue streams, how Barbaclean makes it easy to acquire customers in a space where most competitors don't even answer the phone, and why this franchise is heating up faster than a 4th of July cookout. Brian, how did you get involved in this? This is something unique, right? Cleaning barbecues is unique. This is not a crowded space. This is not home care. It's not pressure washing. It's almost like really specific and niche to just clean a barbecue. Give us the backstory here.
I mean, frankly, I just needed my grill cleaned. This is going back 12, 13 years ago. I needed my grill cleaned. I'm in Southern California, 20, 30 million people. Went to the internet, did an internet search for barbecue cleaning. There was one guy doing it.
No kidding.
And I'm like, wow, one guy doing this. And I'm looking at window cleaning where there's 500 window cleaners, and carpet cleaners where there's 1,000 carpet cleaners, and they're all marketing and they're all online and they're all making money. Like, this is not only a business that I could create, but it's an industry that we can create as a group. I saw it as a great opportunity. I have a marketing background. I was a marketing major in college. All the jobs I had previously, marketing involved, obviously, pretty much everything in the world. You're marketing or you're selling yourself. But I knew I could find customers. I just needed to create a process. And I'm not very good with my hands. I'm not a cleaner. I'm not very handy. But I figured it out. I knew I needed a steam cleaner. Steam cleaner was going to be the secret weapon all the way through. And so I went with that. And initially, it took me four and a half hours to clean a grill. And I was fine with it. I was doing it myself. It was an 8-hour day. I'd clean two grills a day for $250. I made $500 a day. I knew that there was more to it than just me cleaning grills. I knew, I had a franchising background. I was a franchisee in a different system prior to Barbie Clean. And I always knew that franchising is awesome. Both as a friend, at the time, all I knew was a franchisee, but I'm like, I want to be a franchisor. And so everything I did, even back then when I was cleaning the grills, my eyes were a couple years down the road thinking, this is something I could build, not only for myself, but for other people around the country. Over the years, that cleaning process has been perfected. I hate using the word perfected because we're always looking for ways to do it better, but we're down to 215 to 230 on average to clean a grill. And so
chopped it in half.
And as you know, in home services, if you take less time, you make more money. And it's been great. Going back to my story, I started it, built it, was successful here in Southern California with my franchising background. I'm like, man, this is something that I can do to not only grow Barbie Clean and something for myself, but help people across the country become successful in this niche business as well. Being in California, it's not easy to become a franchisor. Lots of T's to cross, I's to dot. Hired a franchise consultant, franchise attorney. Took a little while to finally get approved, but we did. Boy, am I glad we did. It's been a fun ride to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I hear about the growth. Tell us about that. How many operating locations do you have today?
Yep. We just crossed into the upper 80s, 88 total territories operating. And so
how many sold?
88. It takes less than a month.
That's, I like to hear that. Cause a lot of people do sold, not open.
Within a month, you go from sold to open. It's a 4-week onboarding process and you come to training and you're in business. My main theme from the beginning, when I started, even the cleaning process all the way through the business side of it, is simplicity. And I follow that to a T. Whatever I could do to make it as simple for the franchisees to learn about the business, to be excited about the business, to ultimately become a part of the business, and then to get them started in the business, simplicity rules.
That's great. To get in with an FSO like Fastlane, you have to check a lot of boxes. You clearly did that as a young emerging brand. Most brands that want to work with an FSO, they're denied. They don't have the systems. Yeah. They don't have the ops manuals. Like, they're just not ready, right? They're not ready for any growth at all. So clearly you're checking a lot of boxes. You want to elaborate on like how you actually got that deal done because cleaning the go.
You know what? I never even really asked Brent or Kerry or any of the guys over there. It has to be the uniqueness of the brand. And probably the founder's probably a big part of it, probably a pretty cool guy. But, you know, I think I took a shot and they took a shot on me. I know they took a shot on me. At the time we had, you know, 8 or 10 operating franchisees. Some were doing okay. Some were doing not so good.
Okay.
I didn't pull any wool out over their eyes. I just called it the way it was and they took a shot on me and I'm super happy they did. And from all the everything I hear on the other side, they're happy they did as well. And it's been a great relationship. The people that I've been working with all the way from, you know, my VP or my development guy, who's now Scott at Franchise Fastlane, to my VP at TJ, all the way up to the conversations I had with Kerry and great everybody crew. Else involved.
How many states across the country?
We're approved in all the states. I mean, I'm in California. So if I could get approved in California,
you can get approved anywhere.
Yeah. So it's just a few extra bucks to get approved. But, you know, it's also something that Fastlane wants us to do because they don't want to turn anybody down, obviously. Other than that, yeah, we're available. We're open for business everywhere.
Seasonality to this? Are you hedging that with the off season?
Good question. So I'm here in Southern California.
Yeah.
So you might say there's no seasonality there, but the truth is when it's 60 degrees here in Southern California, people don't go outside.
Right.
It's like zero in other states. Mm-hmm. And so we face some seasonality. It runs from right around Thanksgiving to right around Valentine's Day. There's about 2.5 months there where we're definitely a little bit slower. Some states, if you think about like Texas and Florida, you know, Miami, Dallas, Houston, Phoenix, there's almost like reverse seasonality. Their best months are November and December,
right.
But like July and August, it's so damn hot. July and August, you're like, I don't know if I want to go out there right now to do it. And so it's a little bit of out of sight, out of mind in that sense. So yeah, there is some seasonality. We've battled it a few ways. We added fireplace cleaning more so to get back into the homes with the customers that we've worked with throughout the years. It's not a big marketing push of ours, but it's something. It's more of a way just really to battle the seasonality and be a little bit more full service to our existing customers. And so we've done that. But more than anything for me, I've always thought, and we've executed the right way over all the years, is that you could either look at it as downtime or you could look at it as opportunity time. And maybe that's cliche. From Valentine's Day through Thanksgiving, you're busting your butt. Like, it's busy. Even if you want to be semi-absentee, you can be. In my territory, I've got a customer service representative that, you know, answers the phones. I've got an operations manager that manages the technicians, and I've got 3 to 5 technicians throughout the year. And I'm invested in the business, obviously. Right. So I'm spending time kind of making sure that everyone's pulling from the same side of the rope. So there's a lot to do throughout the year when we're busy. So those months from when we're a little bit slower on the calendar is really the time where we should be digging in, making relationships, going out there and talking to HOAs and apartment complexes, right, creating those relationships with property managers and barbecue grill stores. There's so many ways. You might think that barbecue cleaning, you just go to the residents and you advertise to them and hope that they call. There's lots of other ways to get business and find customers. And it's not just the one-off grills in someone's backyards. You could have apartment complex. I've got one apartment management company. It all started 5.5 years ago now. I went out to take a look at these 2 grills that they wanted to have looked at. They wasn't working great. And I told the site manager, I said, man, these grills are shot. They need to be replaced. And she's like, well, that's over my pay grade. You need to talk to my area manager. I talked to the area manager and let him know what's going on and what we do. And he's like, no, I think you should probably talk to the owner of our company. I'm like, all right, set it up.
Yeah.
A couple of days later, I'm in the office with the owner. I tell him what we do, full service from cleaning to repairs to replacements, everything having to do with barbecues we can do. And he was so impressed that we're cleaning 140 total grills twice a year in all 20 of their complexes.
I love that.
This has been 5 years running at about $80,000
wow,
a year in revenue with one relationship that we made. And so that's just an example of how the bread's still buttered with the residential grills. We're still going to advertise the
commercials.
We're still going to do that.
I love it.
The commercial side is huge. My biggest producer in Texas, in Central Texas, they get 30 to 40% of their business from 2 grill stores, but the same company. They have one in one city and one in another, right, and they get 30 to 40% of their business from one relationship that they create. So the relationships are huge, and those relationships are born in the off season. It just has to be.
Awesome.
So that's how we do it.
It's amazing that there isn't more competition in this space, considering probably everybody listening is like, I own a grill. Do you use it?
Yeah.
I use it all the time. Is it filthy? It's always filthy. The last time it wasn't filthy is when I bought it. I mean, it's just a reality. Right now it needs to be cleaned. And what I like to do, Brian, before I get on calls like this, is I like to call competitors. So I made 5 outbound dials yesterday before this call, because I'm going to give someone an opportunity to call me back.
Okay.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm using a VPN, but I ended up in Atlanta. It doesn't matter to me where I end up and who I call. Cleaning grills. I called Atlanta Grill Cleaning. I called Fulton County Grill Cleaning. Then I came back to Palm Beach where I live. Each grill cleaner, it's barbecue grill cleaner, and South Florida grill. 5 dials. 1. Yeah. And I asked how much. And he was the one who picked up. I give him credit for picking up. His name is Nick. He's South Florida Grill Cleaning. I give the guy a ton of credit for answering his phone, but it was a total miss where it was like, you could hear he's in the car, right? He's the guy cleaning the grill. He's not. Yeah. And he ended up not answering my questions and said, take a picture of your grill and send it to me. Total missed opportunity for revenue.
Yeah. And then the funny part that you said, you just gave a guy credit for picking up the phone.
That's how low my expectations are.
That's how low the bar is. Right.
That's what I tell my mom. If you lower your expectations, you'd be incredibly proud of me. Just bring them down a notch.
Yeah. And that's a lot of the questions that I get during the recruiting phase of this when prospective franchisees are talking to us. What sets you apart?
Yeah.
My answer is always the same. If we set aside 5 grills equally filthy and you had 5 different companies come in and clean those 5 grills, we're going to go in. We're going to keep the area a little bit cleaner, and our process is going to be a little bit more efficient, and it's going to look better with the steam billowing out of it and the whole thing. But ultimately, at the end of the day, all those grills are going to be within 5% of
cleanliness.
What clean actually is of cleanliness, right? That's not what sets us apart, grill cleaning in a space where very few people are doing. What sets us apart is what you said. They're all chucking a truck. They're all mom and pop. Some of them answer the phone. Some of them don't. I'm sure they don't show up with a nice, clean invoice. I'm sure they don't do any post-job follow-up, whether via email or text or phone. I'm sure they don't call or email again a year later to let them know it's time to have their grill cleaned. That's what sets us apart. I'm looking for people that want to be business owners with a business mindset of growing something and scaling something huge.
Love it.
While we clean grills to get there.
Yep. I love it. And every day I deal with a client who says, why would I need Brian, I can I just do this on my own? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
your top line gross revenue will probably be 100, 150 grand, your best year. And you'll pat yourself on the back that you don't pay royalties several hundred thousand every single year. I deal with it. Now I'm going to deal with it with a barbecue grill cleaning. I deal with it as I don't need a frame.
I don't want those people to be part of my system.
Correct.
Anyways,
they don't get it.
Because they're going to be nothing but trouble.
That's right.
They don't get it. My famous line that I tell everyone that comes on board is you sell like you buy. The people that come in and are intentful through the phase of the whole system where you're talking to Scott at Fastlane and he's running you through it and you jump on my founder calls every Monday and meet with me. And then you jump on a validation call on Wednesdays with one of my franchisees. And then you jump into our virtual confirmation day and you ask great questions. Those are the guys that are going to be successful in the business. And I tell them that if you buy with intent, you're going to sell with intent. And I've got the vehicle here to help you become successful. If you sell with intent.
People like to overcomplicate everything. They just do. I used to do presentations or franchise and they're all like, how do I grow? There's only three ways to grow a business. Three, acquire customers, increase their average ticket, and increase the frequency of their purchase. It's like, that's it. Just ups over those three things and you'll be rich.
Yes.
But they won't. I catch them at Home Depot. I catch them making sandwiches behind the counter. I catch them cleaning their car. They like to do busy work, right? Instead of focusing on the vital few.
I don't know if I should tell the story
in case
this franchisee ends up hearing this, but sold a franchise to a guy in Florida. He bought three territories in a real nice spot in Florida. Comes to training. He's got everything he needs. He's one of the first franchisees through Fastlane.
Okay.
I give him all the tools to be successful. He sees my franchisees are being successful. Everything is there for him. He goes back home and his brain's spinning. He's, of course, is thinking too much. My favorite line is, you're doing too much. Stop doing too much. Turn your brain off and just work. So he's like, I'm going to add propane tank exchange.
Here we go.
I'm like, why? He's like, I just think it's going to be great. I'm like, bro, like in a year from now, you're going to come back and say it was a mistake, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you you can't. I'm not the type of franchisor that puts like excites people's spots. I want them to be creative and come up with ideas and help the system grow as a whole. So I rarely tell guys no.
Okay.
But I give my thought. I'm like, bad idea. Anyways, he digs into it. I need to now become propane licensed. That takes him 6 months to become propane licensed. Right. Meanwhile, he hasn't even cleaned a barbecue yet because this is something he wants before he launches. Takes him 6 months to do it. And now once he gets that license, you left training 6 months ago. You got other stuff going on. Now the passion for it is gone. And he literally hasn't even launched. Yep. It's been a year and a half and he really hasn't launched. This guy could have been hundreds of thousands of dollars into his business a year ago. And who knows where he could be right now because he's that motivated. He owns another business that he's super successful in. The guy knows how to do business. He's just gotten his own way. It makes it very difficult for me as a franchisor because I hate to say I told you so, but it was a bad idea.
I agree with you 100%. Everything you're saying. And I do like the creativity piece. I do like that you're allowing people to challenge the status quo and to be creative and come up with new ancillary revenue ideas on franchisees is you bought this system. They do cleaning. They do repairs, maintenance, right? 60% of your revenue, maybe more, is going to come from cleaning. Think you should start cleaning?
Yeah.
And then once you clean and master your craft of repair and maintenance and supplies and parts and selling new grills, then at that moment, when you're a break-even, profitable, building your infrastructure, then you go back. Yeah. I have an idea about propane tank exchange. Great.
Yeah.
You're doing sick. I'm happy to have the conversation.
And by the way, now you have the money to be able to dig into that and see if it's possible.
Seriously. It happens all the time. Yeah. 25 years of doing this, lots of brands, tons of stories. Thank you for adding another one. Keep doing for the listener is just reinforcing what we're saying because they get sick of hearing us say it, right? It's nice to hear a franchisor of a brand tell these stories and just get back to the basics. I've often said people don't need to be told. They need to be reminded, right? Just stick to the plan. Execute.
And it's not an ego thing for me. I don't want people to follow because I created this and I want you to do it because I said no. Like, the proof is in the pudding. If this was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I wouldn't be as confident in my words.
Right.
But we've proven this model over the last 2 years with the guys that franchise Fastlane brought in. We've proven this. Last year, we had our first franchisee go over $1 million. You did just under $1.2 million in barbecue, cleaning, service, repair, and replacement. $1.2 million. We had another franchisee last year, trained in February, opened in March, did just under $600,000 in his first year of cleaning, repairing, replacing barbecues.
You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Phrenosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit us on the web at phrenosity.com. That's phrenosity.com. We look forward to working with you.
And so I sit here today way more confident in these conversations than I was. I could proudly say that we've proven the model. People are killing it. And last month alone, we had 11, my operations manager did the work, 11 franchisees did PRs for personal records for a month.
Wow.
In April of 2025.
I say this a lot.
We're excited.
A lot of people don't know. I read something recent. I'm like, I got to fact check that. So I looked up how many like businesses, small, medium, large businesses are in the country. Let's just call it 34 million companies. 94% of them will never reach a million in revenue. Exclusive club, million or more in revenue. Sure. I used to watch the Shark Tank and I used to see these billionaires and I'm like, why are these guys getting excited when someone says they did a million in revenue last year? You know, you ever watch the show? They're like, whoa, Mr. Wonderful bounce up in his chair. Wow, you did a million selling those little things for your hair?
Yeah.
And now it's an exclusive club. It's a single digit club, 6%.
It's that easy to do. It takes extreme focus.
I agree with you.
It takes extreme focus and extreme discipline. Going back to the last story, extreme discipline to be able to have that focus, just stay between these rails and continue moving and have the faith that it's going to work.
That's right. Can we break that 1.2 million down? What does that look like? How many vehicles is that? What is the labor model for a $1 million barbecue cleaning business?
Great question. So we don't work in crews. Each technician works by himself. So it's one technician job. It takes 2 hours and 15 to 2.5 hours to get the job done.
Okay.
We retain our employees better than most home service companies. And that's the reason why. We have them clean two grills in a day. The first grill in my territory, the first grill's at 8, the second grill's at 11. They're done by 1:30 or 2 in the afternoon.
Love it.
They get full-time pay. They work about part-time hours. And they get to do, I have one technician that's works at Panda Express in the evening. He makes a couple extra bucks. He likes cooking food. Good for him. Retention here I've got to say, I don't have stats to back it up, but I've got to say it's higher than most home service businesses. But back to your question. One tech doing a job. We like to call them grill experts doing a job. Each technician's worth somewhere between $12,000 and $16,000 a month. The way that breaks down is average tickets, approximately $450 per ticket. When you figure in apartments where you're cleaning, you know, maybe three or four grills in a day, and you figure in grill replacements and parts, average ticket is $450. So two grills a day to $450 times 5 days in a week times 4.3, it ends up right around $12,000 to $16,000 in a day per month. You know, techs get sick, a last second cancellation, whatever it is, that figures in that, you know, the difference from 12 to 16 grand. And the guy in Texas bears that up perfectly. Has seven technicians. Seven technicians times 15 grand is 115 grand a month times 12 months. And now we're
over a million.
That number.
Interesting. Yep. So each vehicle, each grill tech can produce, let's just say up to, I'm just talking about one now, let's say up to 200 and change as capacity.
Yeah. Yep. Right in there at capacity.
How are you compensating the tech? I like the statement you made. Full-time pay, part-time hours. Love that line. For someone. Right. That's great.
Yep.
Are you saying to them, I'm guaranteeing you the work. I'm getting you the work. You're the tech. You're going to do two grills today. Am I paying you by the hour, including windshield time, or am I paying you by the job as a percentage of revenue?
Yeah, honestly, here's what I recommend.
Okay.
And again, this is something that I tell all my franchisees. You're the business owner. You get to make these decisions. You get to pay what you want to pay, hire when you hire, fire when you fire, charge what you want to charge. All those decisions are yours. My idea and what I recommend every franchisee, what I recommend is pay a percentage of the job.
Yeah, love.
Some guys start at 20%, some guys start at 25%, some guys start at 30%, totally up to them. I recommend 30% of the job. So if they, you know, again, going back to the cleaning alone, let's say is 300, on average, $350.
That's right.
So 30% of that's $105. Two in a day, that's $210 for working 6 hours. So that's how it breaks down for them. Now, we get the buy-in. And the other reason why our technicians stay with us for so long is because we help them help us, right? Yeah. So the first thing they do when they get to the grill is they fill out a checklist. And basically what they're doing as they fill out the checklist is they're diagnosing the grill, right? And so they're going through that grill, determining what parts need to be replaced, if any. If they sell parts, let's say that $350 ticket goes to a $1,000 ticket, where of which $300 is cost of goods sold, they're going to make 30%, that same percentage of the profit on those parts.
Okay.
Okay. So if they do the $350 cleaning, they make $600 in parts. If we'd have to do a new ignition system and a set of grates or whatever it is, and we make another $600 in profit, they make another approximately $2.
And they have the skills to replace these parts.
Yeah.
They know how to do this.
And then the next step, if they go into a backyard and the grill is beyond repair and needs to be replaced, and we replace the thing and make $2,500 replacing a grill, they make their same percentage on that as well.
Love it.
And so, you know, I've had technicians make $6,000-$7,000 in a month working 6 hours a day.
I hate paying for commuting. I like paying for revenue generating work. I don't like paying for windshield time and home services. Yep. So I think it's smart.
Yeah, and I think we do a good job of limiting windshield time. I think we do a good job of scheduling appropriately. We have our own proprietary CRM that we use, and on the calendar, it lets, you know, as you get a call, you can see where all the job availability is from week to week. You place them on the same day as someone real close to you. So there's not a ton of windshield time. We're fully mobile. So my technicians bring their vehicles home with them. So they're leaving from home, going straight to that job. And then when they're done with the second job, they go straight home. They don't need to come back to me and drop off equipment. I have one franchisee here in California that has a warehouse and vehicles that they have all the technicians drive into, get in the vehicle, load up with whatever they need, go for the day, come back. And it works for them. It works for them. They have a little office space there and some of the nice with the phones. The wife of the owner or the co-owner works in there all day. And so it works for them. For me, I'm fully mobile. I have my guys take it home. That way it limits the windshield time and it opens up the amount of time that they have in their day. I want it to be as simple as possible. They look in the CRM the night before. They know where they're going first thing in the morning. They know how long it's going to take them to get arrive there at 7:55 a.m. for their 8 o'clock appointment.
That's great. I love the fact you have something proprietary. It's always one of my questions. What do you have that's proprietary, uniquely different? Scheduling software, billing software. There's logistics in your business, right? There's routing vehicles and making and optimizing, not sending someone one, especially in your state, can't keep people far away.
I'd actually say in my state, because it's more dense, it's even easier than some of the states. Like, again, my guy in Central Texas, there's a lot of dirt between homes over there. So even harder there to be logistical.
Yeah. I was saying something like, don't send a guy to Torrance and then have him go to Loma Linda.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. You are densely populated, but keeping them tight. Yeah. And having enough.
And that
customers.
Goes back to the hiring. That goes back to hiring the right guys in the right spots. You know, I've got a guy that works in one part of the territory. I've got another guy that lives and works in another part of the territory. And as we move, we'll hire someone that lives and works in a different part of the territory.
Very smart.
It all comes back to simplicity. It all comes back to giving my grill experts, technicians, as much time in their day as I possibly
can. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about, if you look at a barbecue grill, it looks harmless. It's just a grill. I don't think people realize, and I do because I had a family member that we believe got esophageal cancer from the chemicals that are, from barbecue char, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons and all this other HCAs and the stuff that's created.
Oh, and speaking my language. Cancer.
Talk to us about, it's not just the grill and it could be very harmful. Go through some of the reasons why. I watched one of your videos and I didn't see the rats coming, but go ahead through what's happening in this world.
I still think that 99% of the people that call us to have our barbecue cleaned want it for aesthetic reasons. They want it to look nice.
Okay.
But we still talk to our customers and we put on our marketing materials and the videos that you talk about the reasons for having a barbecue cleaned. As you go into the commercial and multifamily spaces, they're more specific about that and more concerned about those things because they have lots of families cooking on it. So they're more in tune to having those conversations. And so more than half the grills we're in have rat droppings inside.
I can't believe this.
It's just the way it is. And, you know, it's something we have to talk about. People need to know about these things. And so the cleaning process is easy. We vacuum it out and they're gone and we throw it in the trash. No big deal. I think in my 10, 12 years, we've actually had like four nests. It's not that often. We've seen maybe three rats like actually sitting in there staring at us when we open up the hood. That's not that often, but the droppings are in there. And could you blame a rat for like, especially in the cold areas, like it's warm. There's old food. I mean, it's
great filet mignon in there, right?
Yeah, exactly right. And then people will call us and they'll be like, I have like seven snails in my grill. Why is it? I'm like, the snails didn't go there on their own. They were brought there by the rat. The rat sat there. They ate, they pissed, they pooped in here. Let's get in there. We got to clean it. What you were talking about earlier with the PAHs and the HCAs and the cancer-causing carcinogens, you're absolutely right. Like, all the charred food that sits underneath those grates, every time you fire up that grill, what do you think smoking? Fire alone, like the flame alone doesn't cause smoke.
That's right. It's clean.
It's all that all that charred food softening, smoking, engulfing your food, the person cooking's inhaling it, and all those cancer-causing carcinogens are in there. I'm not going to sit here and say if you cook on a grill once and you inhale it, you're going to get cancer or 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times. But, you know, everyone's doing so much these days to stay out of the way of anything cancer causing that this is definitely one of those that we need to be aware of and take care of. My kind of rule of thumb is if you cook once a week, if you cook twice a week or more, every 6 months is probably where you should have it.
I like that. And I love businesses that have a built-in recurrence to them. Right. I don't like one and done business models. I know that we're coming back.
Yep.
I like.
And we fight that. You know, like I said, most people have their grill cleaned for aesthetic reasons. And so after a year, some people, it's not as dirty as it was when they had it clean. So we do everything we can on our side. We send out emails. We make phone calls at the year mark and we do all that. We're working on a membership model at this point.
I want to get into the revenue streams. And because we have the cleaning, the repairs, you have the new grills, you have the fireplace cleaning. I want to get into the revenue streams. I want to get into your item 19. You already discussed the average ticket. And then, you know, we'll continue from there. But this, I think this is a great conversation. I'm learning an awful lot about your business.
Yep. And that's what we were talking about before is the idea that we have of moving into a membership model, including the grill cleaning, the fireplace cleaning, oven cleaning, and kind of getting your backyard ready for spring, cleaning the furniture and things like that. One thing I thought about years ago, and again, going back to simplicity, was surface cleaning a backyard. While we're in your backyard, why don't we surface clean? You know what it takes to get a surface cleaner to someone's house? Surface cleaners are giant, and then you need a condenser to power it. And now we're not simple anymore. And so we haven't gone that route. And so now that, again, fireplace cleaning uses all the same equipment that we use for barbecue cleaning. Oven cleaning will use all the same equipment. So the model is the same in terms of simplicity, but now we have multiple revenue streams to, you know, like I said, when we're in someone's backyard and we work really hard to earn the trust of those customers and do what's best for them. So once we have that trust, we feel like if we're providing additional services for them, they're going to love to have us in there.
Is this accurate? 60% of the revenue of an average franchisee would be cleaning? 25% repairs, that's accurate?
Yeah, I usually say 60 to 65% is cleaning, 20 to 25% is repairs, and then about 10% is new grill sales.
New grill sales, okay, interesting. We talked about the labor. Let's get into your item 19. This is pretty impressive. What would you like to share? You kind of riffed a little bit about hitting that million mark.
So the item 19 is simple. We did a list of our full-time franchisees and the revenues that they created. Over the last year, we did a table with the full-time franchisees that started at the beginning of last year. It wasn't a calendar year total revenue number. It was like March 1 of 2024 through March 31 of 2025 was our second table to include some of our newer franchisees, like the one I talked about in San Diego, who did almost $600,000 in his first year. There's a couple of them in that table that did a couple hundred thousand dollars as well in their first year. So that was exciting to be able to put in there. Then there's another table that talks about how we came to our average ticket. It's the revenue, total jobs, what our average ticket is, and then what the average ticket is. And that's the number that I gave you. Okay. And then the last table, we use my territory and we put in a full profit and loss to come up with the total profit margin.
It looked like that's a percent margin.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, marketing's right around 10%. Our biggest expenses is our technicians.
Right. 30% is going to be 30.
Exactly right. Yep.
I tell you.
That's it goes back to simplicity. That's why I love the idea of being on a percentage, is because it lends itself to making that profit and loss statement look very simple as well.
I'm showing on my end that the average location was grossing over 400,000. Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
That's incredible. It's impressive.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. How are we, I mean, that people don't realize how much money is being made. But look, it's not a sexy business. Let's be fair, right? It's just not. But I love the simplicity, which you refer to that word a lot. And we say simple as if that's easy to accomplish. Simplicity is one of the most difficult things to do. Look at anyone who writes code. Look at anything in our life. Look at how unfriendly a lot of things are. And I always remember, I really never understood simplicity until Jobs got back into Apple. And he's like, kill all your SKUs, kill all these products. And then he's holding a BlackBerry. This is a disaster. And I'm sitting there, I owned it. And I'm like, this is great.
Me too.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is crazy. Look at a QWERTY board. This is ridiculous. I thought this was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And then he pops out with an iPhone. It is insanely difficult to simplify complex situations like business, acquiring customers, routing technicians. I commend you.
But that's why you buy into a franchise, because the only thing that makes it difficult to be simple is when you're not simple. If you stay simple with simplicity, it's going to continue to be simple. It's all there for you. It's when you complicate it that makes it a mess. I say that on day one of onboarding. I have it all set up for you to keep it as simple as possible for you to understand, so that you can continue down this path to simplicity, because it's all here for you. It's the ones that overcomplicate things that have a tough time.
That's right. They overthink. Is there a physical location, or this is true non-brick and mortar?
Yeah, true non-brick and mortar. In my territory, I have an operations manager. He's got a van. And his van has all the generic parts that we use if we're able to sell a generic part for a grill where we don't need to order a part and go back and do the repair. It has all the supplies that the technician needs. So when he goes out and visits the technicians on a weekly basis, he can fill them up with everything they need. And then it has an equipment set just in case he needs to follow up on something. He's there to be able to clean a grill. And that's about it. And then each technician has an equipment set in their vehicle.
But it's your van. You own.
I own the vehicle.
They're not supplying. Are they 1099 or W-2'd?
That is state specific, area specific. Okay. It all depends on where you live.
So some
here
are
in California,
some aren't.
They make it very difficult.
That's right.
Yeah, here in California, you know, they make it very difficult to make somebody a 1099 employee if you're telling them where to go and you give them equipment. But for other states, it's apparently a little bit more easy.
I like that.
You know, that's one of the things that I advise the franchisees. You need to figure that out for yourself.
Right.
Talk to your CPA, talk to somebody there, because I don't want to get you in trouble by telling you.
I'm with you. Good advice. I want to wrap up with, how are you acquiring customers? I saw your Google reviews, remarkable. The before and after photos, remarkable. I mean, it really is. I'm like, can you really get to that with steam? I mean, the before and after photographs are insane. It actually looks like a brand new grill. Of course, it just turns black and charred. How are you acquiring customers? Who's doing it and how are you doing it?
Our promise to our customers is that the grills are going to be clean to the touch when we're done. There are times where, you know, a grill's 15 years old and the heat has discolored the metal and there's going to be brown spots in there and obviously scratches in stainless steel. There are people that can get it out, but it's not worth it. It costs hundreds of dollars to remove it. So our promise to our customers is that the grill's going to be clean to the touch inside and out when we're done with it.
Okay.
We never tell them that it's going to look like the day you bought, going back to expectations and your mom and the whole thing. The last thing we want to do is over-promise to where we can't meet that. So we instruct our phone people to let them know that the grill's going to be clean to the touch inside and out. You swipe your finger anywhere inside the grill, there'll be no residue left on your finger. So that, I just want to clear that up, because it's a hot button topic because the customers hear it and it's impossible to meet it. So I just wanted to throw that out there. How do we acquire our customers? A lot of old school marketing. And, you know, I said marketing and I hate the word marketing in our space. I was a marketing major at USC. You market when you're trying to separate yourself from your competition. You talk about what they do poorly, what you do well, and why customers should use you. We don't have competition or very little competition in most of our spaces. We advertise. Our goal is to get as many people to realize that our service even exists. A lot of old school advertising, home improvement magazines, door to door, whether it's door hangers or mailers that get sent. We have a relationship with a big mail house that does our mailers for us, for the franchisees that want to take part in that. You know, I tell guys, if you're going to go out and get exercise, lace up your shoes and drop door hangers on doors. They work. It's all about visibility, getting people to realize that our service even exists. And then, you know, obviously recently digital marketing has become big. Google has been really good for us. We've partnered with an outside marketing company who is helping right now. I think they said 53% of our franchisees with the digital marketing. I also hired them recently to help on the corporate side. So they're kind of our corporate marketing company. They do a lot of stuff for us, including SEO on our website. They send out a newsletter to every single one of our past customers going back 10, 12 years. Sometimes it's just recipes. Sometimes it's a little more salesy where we remind them that it's time to barbecue cleaned again, but more times than not, it's more informational just to let them know that we're still here and we're here for them if they need us. And every time they send one out, our inbox fills up with requests. So yeah. And then again, you know, though I love marketing that just kind of happens in the background right, where it's mindless. You don't have to think about it because that frees us up to do all the networking and the conversations with the HOAs and the apartment complexes and the grill stores and the affiliate marketing with other home service professionals. And that's it. I mean, it's eyeballs. And then once you get the customer, now it's time to keep the customer and stay that's in front right. of them and, you know, stay top of mind with them. And so we have our own branded stainless steel polish that I don't require it, but some of my franchisees, including in my territory, we leave it behind when we're done with the job.
Oils, nothing harmful, bio. Yeah,
that's a great part. It's all food grade oils.
Okay.
In fact, it's the opposite. It's a stainless steel polish. It's not an oven cleaner. So what sets it apart is the fact that we actually do use oils. Most companies use, if you look at stainless steel polish for most companies, it's like 80% water, which as you know, doesn't cost anything. So it brings our costs down, but does it work as well? Probably not, especially for outdoor appliances. Our stainless steel polish is engineered and I sat down with a chemist to tell him what I wanted. And we created this, it's engineered and formulated specifically for outdoor appliances. So there's, it's all oils, food grade oils, and then an additional ingredient in there to repel UV rays and water from the grill to ultimately make the grill and any outdoor appliance last long. And again, it's proprietary.
What did you keep the investment under 100, or with all this inflation over the years, you had to jack it up, or is this still a sub 100,000 total investment? Yeah, you kept it. Good for you. I remember you first started, it was like 99 was your high side. 70. Yeah,
and we haven't bumped anything. Every Wednesday, we have a best practices call with our franchisees, totally informal. I may have an update or two, but for more 58 minutes of that hour, it's all talking about. One of the questions was, what do you figure your per grill expense is on, you know, rags and spray and cups and whatever else? Someone threw out $10, someone threw out $7, someone threw out $6. So it's right in that range of what it costs to clean a grill. And so going back to initial investment, the equipment set's still $5,000.
Right.
$5,000 to get everything you need to clean a grill, repair a grill,
generate revenue.
Everything you need to run a business, generate revenue, which is great for initial investment. But as you scale and you hire your second and third and fourth technicians, that's all it costs to get them on the road. So yeah, initial investment has stayed. We haven't touched that since I started with Franchise Fastlane. I love it. In 3 years now.
I love the low investment. I mean, think about it. This is one of those models where you could get 100% return on cash. You put in 100, you can make 100. Common. I love that you only have one tech per vehicle. I like your labor model. I like the fact that 80% of America owns a grill and uses it frequently. I like the health benefit. Good for you, man. Anything you'd like to announce on the show or something that we didn't touch on that you feel is very important?
We're always changing. I'm a much better franchisor than I was 2 years ago when we started with Franchise Fastlane. I've learned a lot from the franchisees. I learned a lot from the people from the other brands at Franchise Fastlane. Took one of them on as a mentor, and I speak with him and his operations manager quite frequently, and they've helped me immensely. And I'm always here to learn. I'm always here to get better. One thing you'll learn about me, I am definitely not someone that governs by, because I'm the founder, what I right. say is right. And just because the document says that you need to do this, like, I've got a heart. Like, I want you to succeed. And if it makes sense for you to do something maybe a little bit outside of what the thing says, we'll make an exception so that you can be successful. I talked about it earlier. Like, I want my guys to be creative. I want them to think outside the box. I don't want to create robots that just do what I say. Obviously, we talked about it earlier. We've got this simple program that if you follow, you'll be good. But, you know, think outside the box and be creative with that. And I've had to change that mindset over the last couple of years, for sure. I hired an operations manager, director of operations, excuse me, here with Barbie Clean. He was a franchisee for 7 years, a neighboring franchisee here in Temecula, California. He was a successful guy. He was just done being an owner. And he wanted to help me grow the business. And he wanted to just have a simpler life. And so he came on board, and he's been a great asset for the franchisees, someone that's been in the same wars that they're fighting as a franchisee. He's done it, and he's got the answers to all those questions. And so he's an integral part of what we have going on here now. Like I said, the marketing company we've been with for about 6 months, and they've been amazing. All the metrics that they show us, we had just had a review call the other day, and they said with the SEO that they're doing and with the unique brand that we have, last month we had 780 organic leads across the country that came in just with SEO, organic.
Wow. No one was driven there. Yeah. It's Angie's List, Home Advisor, that's worth a ton of money.
Ton of money. Yes. And if you figure that out across the country, that's a lot of leads per territory that they're all getting off of work that we're doing at the corporate level. They didn't spend a dime to do it. And so excited to have them on board. They've got all their ducks in a row, and they've been great. So we've got everything in place right now to bring on additional franchisees and support additional franchisees and help people become successful in this niche business. And so we're very excited. We've never been in a better spot as a company and as a founder, as you can tell with my smile on my face. Yeah. We're very excited for where we're at and where we're going. And honestly, the caliber of franchisees that Fastlane's bringing in has me super fired up. We're in a great spot.
Good for you. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to spend with me to go through the interview. I think this was fantastic. I learned an awful lot about you, your culture. I like your mindset. I like how you obsess over your franchisees. A lot of franchisors get in this business for the wrong reasons. I think your heart's in the right place. I really thank you for coming on today. Wish you the best.
Oh man, and thank you. Thank you very much for having me on board. It's an honor to be here and for someone like you to appreciate Barbie Clean enough to have me on. I do really.
Absolutely, Brian. Take care. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FRANOCITY.com. We'd love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.